Hey y'all, it's been a minute, and today I'm going to be reading the day four that I wrote a couple years ago on the countdown to the anniversary of Caden's death. Today is pain times resistance equals suffering. Sometimes life feels like we're in a boxing ring. Sometimes it's just downright a freaking dogfight. Hopefully that's not how it is all the time for us, but sometimes it can certainly feel this way. I have found myself in the ring many times at this point, more than I can count and more than I'd like to admit to. I think there are many of us that are in a ring and don't even understand who our opponent is, what it is that we're even rumbling with. For the majority of the time I spent in the ring of life, needing to fight my way onto sunnier paths, I have not known who or what my opponent really was. I'm in a ring, shuffling back and forth, swinging at shadows and ghosts. All my efforts doing nothing for me because I can't land a punch to anything other than air. So much anger and frustration and exhaustion and grief. Just shadows and ghosts, shadows and ghosts. Eventually, with a good therapist and employing good old intentional soul searching, my opponents started to materialize. At first, they were poorly outlined and vague. Over time, they grew to be opponents that were crystal clear. I stared down abandonment, death, forgiveness, betrayal, regret, injustice, fear, self-worth tied to the wrong things, you name it. I've probably boxed it. I've taken my turn in the ring with all of those opponents and then some. Once I knew what I was fighting, I was able to finally land a few punches and start fighting back. It restored hope and my belief in myself to heal and overcome. I knew if you got me in the ring with an opponent I can actually hit, there's no way I lose that fight. But you put me in the ring, boxing with shadows and ghosts, I end up on the ground, spent and hopeless. So the first step is to figure out what your opponents are. Get some clarity around the issue. We all have these. No one is immune. Some people's opponents aren't big and scary, maybe just requiring one or two well-timed punches. But some of us, and you know who you are, we are in a cage fight. And still others, for Spencer and Caden, they are in a fight for their lives. Without learning what our opponents are and getting a clear target to land a blow to its jaw, we don't stand a chance. Please, do the work to force your opponents to materialize. You can win that fight. You will win that fight. You have what it takes, I promise. Not to say that I didn't, and sometimes still, do get my butt kicked by these opponents, but I win more than I lose these days. Over time, you get good at knowing how your opponent works, which side he likes to punch from, the cadence of his steps before he swings. We need to get good at studying our opponent. It's how we beat it. The single most powerful way I've found to convert the shadow to well-formed opponents that can actually be fought is to accept, to do the opposite of resist. Once you've accepted what is, the real fight can start. And by fight, I mean heal. This concept took me to a post from the archives that I made a couple of years ago. I use it again now. My life is Plan E. Plan A, B, C, and D did not pan out. I've had to let go of each plan with much pain and difficulty, much suffering. Plans that were formed as a young girl of what my life was to look like and feel like. Things I cannot change. Things I would give my own life for 100 times over to change. We all hit the unrelenting wall of something we can't change. A painful past, disease, death, others' choices, our own choices we can't take back. Global events, the list goes on forever. Sometimes we hit this wall when we are old, sometimes just tiny. We can kick and scream and cry and tear at the bricks until we are bloodied and defeated, but alas, the damn wall will not fall. It is the end of that plan. We can sit at the base of that wall and wail about its existence forevermore, but we will cheat ourselves out of another plan with no walls in sight. And then, God forbid, sometimes you hit another wall, after it took all will and strength and power you possessed to abandon the first road and its dead-end wall. To hit yet another immovable wall, another life plan thwarted, has a depth of discouragement that is difficult to put into words. Some of us turn from walls to take new paths, only to find another wall time and time again. This kind of despair is nothing short of soul-crushing. To us, the roads are many, and the walls represent grief and pain and discouragement of the worst kind. But to God, the walls simply push us into the path we were meant to take from the very beginning. It all feels so painful to walk away from the wall, the things we cannot change, to accept the death of plan A. To God, He always intended that road to end there. The next road we find ourselves on, our plan B, is still His plan A. It was always to be. It gives me great hope and settles the storms in my soul to remember that although my life is on plan E, I am still walking through God's plan A for me. He knows the end. We do not. A common wall I have seen come up for others time and time again is a painful past, created either by our choices or the choices of others. Many of us sit at that wall and cannot remove ourselves from it, make peace with it, and turn our faces toward the sun to seek out our next path. It's a hard one, a high one, one that grasps our hearts with the ferocity of lions. It has helped me to learn, after encountering my own share of walls that I cannot change, that after I lie spent on the ground in front of it from my efforts to tear it down, that a different path awaits me, not the one I want. I wanted the path behind that wall, the one where my son lives, the one where my husband lives, the one where five-year-olds aren't pallbearers, the one where I don't support an entire family of seven on my own, the life where I was a stay-at-home mom, the life where my soul feels light instead of heavy, the light that has children who don't know what suicide looks like and feels like and tastes like, the one where I have not watched little people cry over graves of a daddy and a brother, the life where I get to hold and touch and kiss every child that I gave birth to, the life that takes me down a path where I have often find myself at odds with the God I love and adore and desire nothing more than His rest. I want the life behind the wall. We all long for what is on the other side of our wall. But another path awaits, one where we can build ourselves a new plan, a new version of ourselves, a stronger, more compassionate version. We will often stop and turn around to see if we can catch a glimpse of the old wall and what it kept us from. An old familiar pang of longing will well up within us, and that's okay. But the new path is the one that holds the sunshine for us now. We mustn't get stuck in the shadow of a wall we cannot change. Grieve it as long as you need, but don't stay there forever. Your future is down a different path now. Whether you've been trying to hurdle a wall for 2 weeks or for 30 years, grieve what is unreachable on the other side. Find a way to accept the unacceptable. To provide someone with time and acceptance and love will help others do this most effectively. Say a prayer of peace at that wall, of forgiveness, of strength, and start the journey of making your way to plan B or C or whatever plan you found yourself on now. In summary, my biggest lesson on this front is this: pain times resistance equals suffering. For all you math people out there, this is my version of an emotional multiplication problem. The pain part is the one part of the formula that never changes. That part is just being human. Pain will come to us in varying degrees. The only part of the formula we have any control over is the resistance piece. If pain is 100 and resistance is 100, then suffering is 10,000. If pain is 100 and resistance is 1, then suffering is 100. Suffering will never be 0 because pain will never be 0. At the end of the day, the more you resist, the more you suffer. The less you resist, the less you suffer. This formula has saved me, and it is honest to goodness true. Eventually, after the battle has been won and the journey of self has concluded, we will find ourselves in the loving embrace of our God in a world without walls. But not yet, friends, not yet. There is much to do, much to learn, and much to give. It's Easter tomorrow, buddy. You slipped away from us on Easter Eve. The irony of you leaving us on the eve of a holiday of rebirth and hope does not escape me. You loved hiding eggs for the little ones. If there are Easter egg hunts in heaven, and let's be honest, it would be a crime if there weren't, I sure hope you're finding the same joy hiding eggs for the souls up there that are littler than you. You are loved, dude. You are so loved. So keep grieving like a badass, because I see you, I stand with you, and you definitely are not alone.